All right, open your Bibles, please, to Luke chapter 3 as we continue going through the book of Luke. Luke chapter 3 this morning. And I believe last week when I preached, we pretty much got out right about noon. Amen. It was short service. I mean, for us. But I promised to make that up for you this morning. Luke chapter 3, we'll start as we finished up Luke chapter 2, now into Luke chapter 3, just moving right along here through the book of Luke. Luke chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. Now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar. Now history says that Tiberius Caesar began to reign in 14 A.D. That being the case, you're looking at this time period here at 29 A.D. Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of Euteria, and of the regions of Trachonitis, and Licinius, the tetrarch of Abilene, Annas and Caiaphas being the high priests, the word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. He came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, "O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Every tree therefore which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire." And the people asked him, saying, "What shall we do then?" He answering saith unto them, "He that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none. And he that hath meat, let him do likewise." Then came also the publicans to be baptized, and they said unto him, "Master, what shall we do?" And he said unto them, "Exact no more than that which is appointed you." And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, "And what shall we do?" And he said unto them, "Do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages." And as the people were in expectation, and all men mused in their hearts of John, whether he were the Christ or not, John answered, saying unto them all, "I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, and will gather the wheat into the garner, but the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable." And many other things in his exhortation preached he unto the people. But Herod the Tetrarch, being reproved by him for Herodias his brother Philip's wife, and for all the evils which Herod had done, added yet this above all, that he shut up John into prison. Now, holding your place there, you want to grab Isaiah chapter 40. And the title of my message this morning is simply this: It will get fixed when Jesus comes. It will get fixed when Jesus comes. John's telling everybody, get ready, Jesus is coming. Because when Jesus comes, it's all going to get fixed. Hey, you know what the world says? The world says, we don't need Jesus, we can fix it. We can fix it with our science and with our technology and with our philosophy and our education. Hey, I like that study we've been doing in Hebrews. What do we find in Hebrews? What's Hebrews about? Jesus makes everything better. Amen? And Jesus can fix what no one else can fix. And John's preaching as he's baptizing around the area of Jordan and telling those people, the answer is coming. The answer is coming. Look with me in Isaiah chapter 40 in verse 3. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. Now watch it. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Hey, brethren, has that happened yet? No, that hasn't happened yet. See, John is not only announcing the first coming of Jesus Christ, John is also announcing the second coming of Jesus Christ. And at the second coming of Jesus Christ, guess what? The Lord is going to fix the earth. He's going to fix it. The Lord has promised to fix the earth. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that good to know? Well, Brother Ray, why would the Lord have to fix the earth? I thought the earth was already perfect. You're not being serious, are you? You just didn't hear about the tragedy with all those tornadoes? All those people that died? So what is that? There's a problem. There's a problem on the earth. It ain't like it's supposed to be. Something's gone wrong. Something's gone haywire. And none of it's going to get fixed until Jesus comes. And it will get fixed when Jesus comes. Hey, see, you have to realize, turn in your Bible, please, with me to the book of Revelation. But you have to realize, I hope you're holding your place in Luke chapter 3. We'll be back there. But Revelation, you got to realize that when this world started out, this earth started out, brethren, it was a utopia. It was a paradise. And God put Adam and Eve on a perfect earth, in a perfect garden. Everything was wonderful. Everything was perfect. All that God had made was just right for Adam and Eve. But you know what happened? Adam and Eve fell. And when Adam and Eve fell, you know what God did? He cursed the ground. He cursed the earth. And ever since, brethren, the earth has been under a curse. You know what people have been trying to do ever since? They've been trying to get back to paradise. Yeah, it's in you. It's in your nature to try to get back to paradise on your own. Amen. Why we got air conditioning in here this morning? See, because at one time, it was always the same temperature. What happened after Adam fell? God told Adam, you're going to sweat, boy. You're going to sweat. No air conditioning. But man's fixed that. The only problem is we fix that, then we create pollution. You can't win, see? You know what they're trying to do? They're trying to fix the earth by themselves. And it won't work. The earth is not going to get fixed. It's under a curse from Adam's fall. It won't be fixed until Jesus comes back. You can try all you want, but you're not going to stop the earthquakes. You're not going to stop the hurricanes. You're not going to stop the tornadoes. You're not going to stop the tsunamis. You're not going to stop the floods. You're not going to stop the volcanoes. You know it's not supposed to be this way. It's not supposed to be this way. But there's a problem with this earth right now. And the Lord's going to have to come back and fix it. What did He say He was going to do? He was going to bring every mountain low and raise up the valleys and straighten out all the crooked places, smooth everything out. What was He talking about? That's literal. That's literal. There's not going to be any Appalachian Mountains in the millennium. There's not going to be any Rocky Mountains in the millennium. There's not going to be any cities and high towers. In the millennium, everything's going to be brought down low. It's all going to be evened out. The only mountain there's going to be in the millennium is Jerusalem. And all nations, the Bible says, will go up to Jerusalem. Amen. Amen. Nobody's going to be higher than Jesus in the millennium. See? You know what the Lord's going to do? He's going to fix the whole thing. He says from His throne is going to come out water and it's going to heal all the waters. And all of a sudden, everywhere you go, there's going to be, just like you've got the curse now. In the curse now, what do you have? You have weeds, you got thorns, you got thistles. That's all part of that curse. Amen? Anybody here ever done any gardening? Anybody ever plant weeds? But they grow. They grow without you even having to try to grow them. See? What is it? That's the curse. What happens when the corn and the wheat and the potatoes and the tomatoes grow without you having to do anything? That'd be paradise. See? And God changes the whole earth atmosphere. And the whole earth is... Listen, you know what they're saying? We've got to fix global warming. No, you don't. You can't fix it. If it is warm and it's God's business, man thinks he's something, doesn't he? We're affecting the climate. You ain't affecting nothing. You ain't big enough for that. But we're putting out God. Listen, the cows are doing more than you are. Amen. The volcanoes are doing more than you are. Amen. That had nothing to do with that garbage. And that's all it is. That's just somebody trying to control you. Somebody trying to tax the world. That's all that stuff's about. Look what the Lord's going to do here in Revelation. Look in Revelation chapter 6. You know what He's going to do? There's going to be a great earthquake. There's going to be a whole lot of shaking going on. And then Jesus is going to come back and fix the whole thing up. Amen. He's going to smooth everything out. But before He smooths everything out, there's going to be a whole lot of shaking going on. Revelation chapter 6 and verse 12. And I beheld when He had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was what? A great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth. Even as a fig tree casteth her untimely fig when she is shaken of a mighty wind. You got those stars falling to the earth. Another place it calls them hailstones. And each one's about this big. Billions of them. Where are you going to hide? You saved? Where are you going to hide? You think 9/11 was something? Wait until every building collapses. Every building collapses. And there's going to be a great earthquake and all those mountains are going to come low and all those valleys are going to go up and the whole thing's going to even out. That's what the Lord promised. The Lord always keeps His word. He's going to do... I'm just so glad I'm not going to be here when that happens. Amen. Look in chapter 8. I'm saved. Amen. Romans chapter 8. Revelation chapter 8. Why did I say Romans? I don't know. Revelation chapter 8. Revelation chapter 8 and verse 5. Look at it again. And the angel took the censer and filled it with the fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. Look at chapter 11. The Bible says this earthquake will be a greater earthquake than has ever been on the face of the earth. It'll be an earthquake over the entire earth, not just in one location. And you want to talk about tsunamis? Come on now. When you got an earthquake over the whole earth, amen. The Bible says the waves and the seas roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking at those things that are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. There's a whole lot of shaking going to be going on when Jesus comes back. Look in chapter 11 and verse 13. In the same hour was there a great, what? Earthquake. A great earthquake. Try it again there in same chapter, verse 19. And the temple of God was opened in heaven. And there was seen in the temple the Ark of the Testament. And there were lightnings and voices and thunders and an earthquake and great hail. That's what's coming. Amen. You're going to have hail on earth. Amen. Look over in Revelation chapter 16 when there's a whole lot of shaking going on. Revelation chapter 16 and verse 16. Revelation 16 and verse 16. And He gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air. And there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, "It is done." And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided in three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. You got that? What happened to them all? They fell. That's what happened. And great Babylon came into remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of His wrath. And every island fled away. Everything's getting leveled out. And the mountains, were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. What's a talent? I think that's, isn't it 22.2 pounds? Something like that. It ain't like hail that hits your windshield, you know, that weighs a couple ounces. Over 22 pounds. There fell upon a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent, and men blasphemed God because of the plague of hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. What's going on? The Lord's going to fix the earth. Amen. That's what He's doing. When Jesus comes back to this earth to reign, before He comes back to reign, He's going to plow everything under, He's going to smooth everything out, and then He's going to start over, and there'll be a perfect paradise on the earth once again. Isn't that good to know? Amen. Now, you tell people that, and they look at you like they just, you know, swallowed a lemon or something. Hey, that should be good to know. It's all going to be fixed. Don't you want the earth fixed? Well, it's going to get fixed. Thumbs. Until then, you're not going to fix anything. And now listen, I like clean water. I like clean air and all that. But these environmentalists are just wackos. They're way out of line as far as they're concerned. Kill all the people and save the squirrels. Amen. Don't work that way. Right. He's going to level it out. He's going to straighten it out. He's going to smooth it out. It'll all get fixed when Jesus comes. It'll all get fixed. Look back there in Luke chapter 3. Not only is Jesus going to fix the earth when He comes back, John's pronouncing it. John letting them know, hey, He's coming. When He comes, He's going to fix the earth. But He's going to do more than just fix the earth. Listen, not only will He fix the earth, but He'll fix the world. He'll fix the world. Amen. Amen. Now, see, some people, they get confused there. And they get confused because they think that the world and the earth are the same, and they're not the same. The earth is just the physical circle of the earth. It's got the waters and the rivers and the lakes and the trees and the mountains and the valleys and the oceans and the deserts. That's the earth. It's a, you know, that globe that we're on. Right? That's not the world. The world is man's governmental system upon the earth. See, without any man, there's no world. The world is man's system upon the earth. You know what He's going to do one day? You know what the Lord's going to do? Look there in verse 5. And every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth. Hey, isn't that what everybody wants in the world? Think about it. What does everybody want? Well, we want the valleys raised up and the mountains brought. We want a level playing field. It's not fair. Those people have more money than me. That person has more fame than me. That person gets to grow up there and I have to grow up here. Huh? It's not fair. We need a level playing field. And the crooked shall be made straight. Yeah, you just want to keep complaining about the politicians and all the crooked politicians and the crooked bankers and the crooked this. Hey, it all needs to get fixed. It all needs to get fixed. Jesus is going to fix it. And the rough ways shall be made smooth. Oh, life's so hard. Life's so rough. It shouldn't be this way. Well, I got good news for you. It won't always be this way. Someone's going to come and fix it. You know what some people think? Oh, this world is just paradise. This world is just wonderful the way it is. And then you try to talk to those people about heaven and hell and about getting saved. And then they'll turn around and say, well, I believe hell is just on the earth. Well, which is it? Is it paradise or is it hell? And you know this ain't paradise. Why do the politicians have to keep promising hope and change if it's already good? And why do suckers buy into that? Because they want it to get better. Why? Because they know it's not what it's supposed to be. Bible says the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. The whole world right now is under the control and the accuser of the brethren, Satan himself. The old dragon Leviathan. Amen. He's controlling the whole thing. We need a level playing field. So somebody comes along and says, I've got the answer. Communism. We have communism and we'll have a level playing field. And we'll all be the same and we'll all be happy. No, it don't work that way. Say, what happened? Well, somebody ended up having to clean the sewer. See, communism doesn't work. Communism is a utopian dream. Communism could only work if everybody had a desire to do their fair share. And these deluded fools actually think that everybody has a desire to do their fair share, and some don't. Some just don't. See, why is that? It's just always been that way. It's in man. It's in man. He doesn't want to submit to this or that. He has this idea that, well, we just bring in this utopian society. We get the right government. Everything will be fine. Ain't going to work. Somebody says, okay, well, maybe communism did fail. Maybe that won't work. How about socialism? Well, we tried that. It's called national socialism, right? What's the other name for national socialism? Who knows? It's called Nazi. Yeah, that's national socialism. Amen. You enforce socialism for the collective. That's all from Nietzsche, you know. Nietzsche's idea, if you're going to make a Superman, if you're going to make man good, then best thing to do is get all your best people, you know, the top 1%, and kill everybody else. Then you can have a good world. Isn't that a good system? Except guess what? You're probably not in the club. Amen? And what happens? That's not a good system. That's not a good system. Eventually, you know what that thing will end up with? One person left. Because I'm better than everybody else. So that's, see? It don't work. This idea of socialism, well, we'll just take from, the ones that make a lot of money, the rich, and we'll give it to the poor, and we'll make it fair for everybody. Yeah, what you'll do is make everybody dependent on the government, and then the government will become too powerful, and then you'll have tyranny in a police state. That's how it works every time. That's what they're trying now in this country. Let me know how that works out for you. Amen. It won't work. It won't work. Well, the answer is capitalism. All right, well, let's try capitalism. And everybody has the same opportunity. That's capitalism, right? Everybody has the same opportunity, and you can blow your money or you can make some money. Right? And then you do with it whatever you want. You can start your own business or go work for somebody else or do whatever you want and have capitalism and let that go. You know what the problem with that is? You let that go for a couple of decades, or you let that go for 100 years, you don't have a fair playing field anymore. Because you end up with monopolies. You end up with the rich getting richer and the poor getting poorer and all of a sudden a bunch of greed and everything. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. I'm here to tell you it doesn't work. Oh, then the answer must be fascism. You know, we'll have socialism with government corporatism and we'll fix it that way. And no, it won't work. Mussolini tried it. Didn't work. Well, then what we really need is just a monarchy, just a dictatorship. That never works. For that to work, you'd have to have a perfect king. And you know what all this results in, brethren? People warring, people fighting, people arguing over politics. Well, if the Republicans had control, they did. You have a short memory. It wasn't 8 years ago. They had control of the presidency, the Senate, and the House. And you know what happened to the deficit? It went up almost $1 trillion. You say, well, you're right, brother. It isn't the Republicans. We need the Democrats. Well, we just had that. Obama, his first 2 years, Democratic Senate, Democratic House, Democratic President, and the deficit went up a couple billion. Couple trillion, I mean. And man just keeps arguing over who can fix it. But Brother Ray, see, you don't understand. We have the news media. And they'll help us because they're going to let us know what's really going on. Okay, you believe that. You go ahead and just, you know, we'll rock you back to sleep. Say, what's the problem? You get money, you get power, you get control, you get influence. It ain't never going to be fair. It ain't never going to be right. Things aren't never going to get smoothed over. It ain't never going to be a level playing field until the King of Kings and Lord of Lords sits on the throne in Jerusalem, and as He's high and lifted up, and all the world looks to Him, and He rules the world with a rod of iron, and you've got the perfect monarch, the perfect king, the perfect dictator, then you'll have the perfect government. Until then, hey, world, hey, man, keep trying to fix it. Let me know how it works out for you. And in case of rain, the war will be held in the auditorium. They ain't fixing a thing. They ain't fixing a thing. World War I, the war to end all wars. Y'all remember that? How many of you remember that? Just trying to find out who the old people are. Okay. World War II, we can have peace in our time. Whoops. United Nations, no more wars now. We have the United Nations. Yeah, how's that been going? You have more wars now than you've ever had. You haven't fixed a thing. You know what Hitler wanted? You know what Stalin wanted? You know what Hirohito wanted? You know what Mussolini wanted? You know what Roosevelt wanted? You know what Churchill wanted? They all wanted the same thing. They all wanted to fix it. And they all knew that their plan was the right plan to fix it. And it just doesn't fix it. And you keep having the wars, and you keep having the problems, and you keep having people starve, and you keep having disease, and you keep having crime, and you keep having terrorists, and you keep having wars, and you haven't fixed a thing. Look there in Luke chapter 3 and verse 1. Now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar. Nietzsche said, hey, that's the government. The Roman government, that was perfect. Really? You're kidding, right? The Roman government? Tiberius Caesar? Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch. What's a tetrarch? Anybody know? Anybody here ever play Tetris? We have any Tetris players, a couple. Don't play it too much. You play it too much, you'll be playing Tetris in your sleep. Been there, done that. Dangerous. Amen? But when you, listen, you play, what is Tetris? There are all these different shapes of what? What's each one made out of? Four blocks. Tetra. See? That's a tetrarch. Arc. Ruler. See, arc, ruler. That's four rulers. And what the way Caesar had it is in each province, he had that thing divided into four rulers. And so in this province here, the main ruler there is Pilate. He was the governor over Judea. You got four governors. Who were the other three? And Herod being tetrarch of Galilee. And his brother Philip, tetrarch of Euteria and the region of Trachonitis. And Lysanias, the tetrarch of Abilene. You got these four tetrarchs. You've got the high priest, Annas and Caiaphas. You've got a government established and set up. Pretty good government? Really? Well, the high priest had Jesus Christ killed. How about those tetrarchs? Who's keeping an eye on them? Well, John the Baptist tried to. What did he do? Verse 19, but Herod the tetrarch, being reproved by him for Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, and for all the evils which Herod had done, added yet this above all, that he shut up John in the prison. John's preaching righteousness. And John's telling that father, you ain't right, and what you're doing isn't right, having your brother's wife, and you need to repent of that, and you need to do right. Say, does the king repent? Does he get right? No. He just takes John and throws him in the prison. Why? Nobody to stop him. Good government? And then, of course, you have Caesar himself. Tiberius Caesar. That's, see, you know what he did? He claimed a lake for himself. A sea. The Sea of Galilee. They changed the name of that sea to the Sea of Tiberius. He named it after himself. That was God's sea. That's a picture of heaven. You got the Dead Sea, a picture of hell. You come up the Jordan, and then you got the picture of heaven. The Sea of Galilee. That's where Jesus is spending a lot of his ministry. Up around there in the Sea of Galilee. But he changed that thing to Tiberius. He wanted it. He was born the 16th of November, 42 B.C. Died March 16th, A.D. 37. Near Naples. He was the second Roman emperor from A.D. 14 to A.D. 37. He was raised by Augustus, who had married his mother, Livia Drusilla. In his first military campaign at age 22, he recovered Roman legionary standards lost for decades in Parthia and returned to great acclaim. He was forced to give up his beloved wife to marry Augustus's daughter Julia. Despite becoming tribune, he went into self-imposed exile on Rhodes, 6 BC, becoming an angry recluse. By 4 B.C., Julia was exiled for promiscuity by Augustus. His wife was fooling around, who called Tiberius and named him his heir. As emperor, he initially ran the state efficiently and instituted some reforms with only occasional severity, such as exiling Roman Jewish population on pretext. When his son Drusus died mysteriously, he gave his trust to Sejanus and was persuaded to move to Capri in 27. He became increasingly violent, killing and torturing at whim. After Sejanus became co-consul in 31, Tiberius became suspicious of his ambition and executed him. There's government for you, not good government. That's all you've had for 6,000 years. It needs to get fixed. Yeah, but if we elect, nothing's going to get fixed. You're not going to fix it. Tiberius became suspicious of his ambitions and executed him. Then named Caligula his heir. Well, at least he was improving. In 37, the Praetorian Guard declared its support for Caligula and killed Tiberius when he was on his sickbed. Good government? You don't have any better today. Suetonius goes into depth regarding his madness. He would have sex with people of all ages and sexes. He was a major pervert. But why do you think it is that the news media now wants to prop up guys like Clinton and Kennedy for their escapades? They're just preparing you for the Antichrist. Amen. He would arbitrarily have people executed for crimes as harmless as speaking ill of Augustus. Sertorius describes one example of Tiberius madness, where Tiberius would force a subject to drink large quantities of wine. He would then have his urethra tied so tightly that he couldn't use the bathroom and die. Good fella. Good fella. Followed by Caligula. And then, of course, you get Nero. They were getting better all the time. You say, what is that? That's this world. That's the governments. That's the politicians. There ain't a good one in the bunch. Amen. Now, the best you can do with that, as far as I'm concerned, is the form of government we started with in this country. But even that wasn't perfect, and you can't never keep it. Because you got too many people greedy, you got too many people looking for their own thing and their own power, and it just don't ever work. It never lasts. Why? Because you got hell on earth. You got a world full of sin and wickedness and treachery and God knows what. And so, what this world is really looking for, what this world really needs, and they're looking for them and they can't find them. They're looking for them in the Democratic Party. They're looking for them in the... What they're really looking for is a man that can walk on water. Isn't that what this world really needs? Isn't that the answer? Get a man that can walk on water. That's what this world needs. And when Jesus decided to walk on the water, He decided to walk on Tiberius. I like it. Hey, Tiberius, come here. Hey, Nero, come here. Hey, come here. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He's coming down and he's taking over every kingdom, every high place, all principalities, all powers, all kings, all rulers, all authority. And he will rule and reign on this earth for 1,000 years. And he only. Hallelujah. You got problems in this world, but I'm here to tell you that when Jesus comes, that's what John's preaching, he'll fix it. Somebody's coming that's going to fix it. Somebody's coming that has the answer to your problems. I don't like all this negative preaching. This isn't negative preaching. This is positive preaching. I'm telling you, there's an answer. It's all going to get fixed. There's hope. It just isn't in you. And that's what man doesn't like. That's what he doesn't like. See? That's what he doesn't appreciate. Man thinks he's the measure of all things and he can fix it. And well, we'll just get the UN and we'll just teach all the world to sing Kumbaya together. And it ain't going to work. Amen. It is not going to work. But there's an answer. There's hope. The world will get fixed. But it won't get fixed until Jesus comes. John's out there preaching, hey, it's going to get fixed. It's going to get fixed. But it's not going to get fixed till Jesus comes. This is a positive message. The problem is you just don't like the solution. And you know why you don't like the solution? Because there's a problem with you. And you need to get fixed. And Jesus can fix you when He comes. Have you asked Him to come yet? He can't fix nothing until He comes. But when He comes, He can fix it. Look there in chapter 3 and verse 7. Then said He to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of Him, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance. Begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid under the root of the tree. Sin. Every tree therefore which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Verse 16, John answered, saying unto them, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of shoes I'm not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you. He's talking to everybody. Lost and saved. He shall baptize you with what? The Holy Ghost. And with fire. See, that's up to you. That part's up to you. Which one you want. He's going to fix you one way or another. Which way you want to get fixed. We okay? Verse 17. Whose fan is in his hand, and he will truly purge his floor. He will gather the wheat into his garner. Is that you? But the chaff with fire unquenchable. Is that you? Are you saved? Have you ever realized that you have sinned against God? That only Jesus can save you? He shed his blood to take away your sins? And if you'll ask Jesus right now to come into your heart, that at that very second, he can fix you. He can fix you. You ever been fixed? You ever had that work done? It only happens when Jesus comes. It's not going to happen any other way. See, the problem with man is the same problem as the earth. It's the same problem as the world. The fall of man. And so sin entered into the world, and death by sin. You're under a curse. The wages of sin is death. I've been to funerals. I hate going to funerals. I don't like funerals. Say, why? Funerals aren't normal. They're not bright. You go to a funeral and you know something's wrong. This isn't how it's supposed to be. See, you were made to live forever. But sin entered into the picture. And the wages of sin is death. And so now all die, for all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. But Jesus can fix that. He fixed it for me. And he can fix it for you. And the problem with man is, just like with the world and just like with the earth, he thinks he can fix it. Well, I'm a pretty good person. See, he thinks his own righteousness can fix it. Well, I'm religious. I've never killed anybody. See, he thinks what he does can fix it. And what you do can't fix it. You can't fix the problem you have. But I'm going to be good from now on. It doesn't matter about all you've already done wrong. You can't fix it. You can't get rid of that stain. You're like a kid there that spilled grape juice on his white t-shirt. And you're scrubbing and scrubbing and scrubbing and scrubbing and scrubbing and trying to get that thing off so you don't get caught. Because you know you weren't supposed to be in the... And you're saying, I got to get it off. And you can't get it off. And you can't get it off. You can't get your sin off of you. You can't fix it, but Jesus can. Just like that. Say, how? Ask him to come. Ask him to come into your heart. And as soon as he does, hey, he'll fix it. He'll fix it. Now look there in verse 10. Look at verse 10. Christians, you know what the Lord begins to do now in our lives? He begins to fix us. Verse 10. And the people asked him, what shall we do then? In other words, he told them to repent. All right. Bring forth fruits meet for repentance. Let me see it. Have you repented? Then let me see it. Where's the fruit of it? See? Where's the fruit of it? Well, right here. What did they say? Verse 11, he answered and said unto them, he that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none. And he that hath meat, let him do likewise. You got food and your neighbor doesn't, share with him. You got two coats, your neighbor doesn't, share with him. What is he saying? Do right. Do right. See? Verse 12, then came also the publicans. That's the tax collectors. That was Matthew. Then came also the publicans to be baptized, and he said unto him, Master, what shall we do? And he said unto them, exact no more than that which is appointed you. In other words, yeah, you're going to collect the taxes for Caesar, but I know what you've been doing. You know what they've been doing? You know, charge a little extra 5% on top, you know, a little commission. Stealing, graft, see, bribery, all that. You know what the Lord said? You need to repent of all that. You need to repent of that sin. You need to get right. Verse 14, and the soldiers likewise demanded of him. Remember now, Roman soldiers did more than just fight wars. The Roman soldiers were the police. They didn't have a separate police force. This is what you call a police state, right? Like we're going to have in America. Verse 14. And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, and what shall we do? Notice they demanded of him. Why? Because they're soldiers. We got the power. We got the power to do it. Some yahoo, you know. That's why you got to watch these police officers. Thank God for police officers. Don't get me wrong. But a lot of them, they get that little power trip going. Jesus knew that. That's who he's talking about here, see? What's he telling them? And what shall we do? And he said unto them, do violence to no man. Just because you have the power to beat some guy over the head with a billy club or grind his face into the ground while you're putting the handcuffs on him, just because you have the power to bring him into the car and bang his head on the... You don't do that. You can do your job without doing that. See? And you got this little powery, hungry group now. You better watch that stuff. That's what'll lead you to a police state, and it'll lead to a revolt. Do violence to no man, neither accuse any man falsely. Oh yeah, we found these drugs in his glove compartment. There were no drugs in his glove compartment. You say that never happens? Come on now. It can happen just like that. It could happen to you. And then tell me it never happens. You think all policemen are on the up and up? All of them are perfect? Thank God for those that are. Amen. Amen. Thank God for those that are. But they ain't all. Some of them are just out for this. That's why he said, and be content with your wages. When they're not content with their wages, what are they going to do? Sure. All he's saying, listen, all he's saying, repent, do right. Do right. Hey, look back there in verse 5. Hey, Christian, the Lord been working on you? You know what he's trying to do? He's trying to fix you. If you let him. Every single one of us, you know what he's been doing? He's been trying to fix us. Will you let him fix you? Look there in verse 5. And every valley shall be filled. Hey, you got any faults? You got any faults that need to be filled in? Or are you perfect? You got some areas of your life, some weaknesses that need to be patched up? Lord says he can do it. John says, there's one coming. He can do it. He can do it. He can fill in those valleys. You know what else? What did he say? And every mountain and hill shall be brought low. He can take all that pride, all that arrogancy, all that high-mindedness, all that envy, he can put it all down. If you let him. If you're willing to repent. And he'll make the crooked ways straight. You know what the Lord's trying to do with all of us? He's just trying to straighten us out. Say, why? Because you're crooked. You got some kinks. Amen. You go to the chiropractor and say, oh, you got to help me. Yeah, I know. Your back is all out of alignment. What's he saying? You're crooked. And he has to start getting in there. And it sounds worse than it is. Amen. But he has to do all. He's trying to get you all straightened out. You know what the Lord's trying to do to you? He's just trying to straighten you out. You got some kinks that need to get straightened out. Amen. You know, Bob Jones Sr. said one time, he said, if a man will get his heart right with God, then God can straighten out the kinks in his head. Amen. You can't straighten out the kinks in your head just learning the Bible. You got to first get your heart straightened out. Amen. And that's what the Lord's promised to do when he comes. Has he come to you? Is he in you? The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. And the rough ways, he shall make smooth. And you come to the Lord, you got all those works of the flesh and all the hatred and the variance and the meanness and the roughness and the strife, the bitterness. And the Lord says, I need to get all that roughness off. I need to smooth you out so that all those see is the shining of love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness. He just has to hone those rough edges off. Smooth you out by his grace. Are you letting him fix you? We all need fixing. Are you going to let him fix you? He'll take all those works of the flesh and exchange them for the fruits of the Spirit. Sister Tammy, if you want to come ahead and play something for us. Listen, if you're here and Jesus has never come to you, he's just waiting for you to invite him. He's alive. He's risen. He's able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. How about it? Ever been saved? Would you like to be? Others have come to the altar. Why don't you step out and come? Just step out here, come down here and pray and say, Lord Jesus, I invite you into my heart. I invite you to be my Savior. I invite you, Lord, to fix me. Save me of my sins. You see, it all comes down one day to either you're going to let Jesus baptize you in the Holy Ghost, or one day he's going to baptize you with fire. Because you're going to have to meet him. He will come sooner or later. I trust you're ready now. If he should come. Have you made it right between you and the Lord? Christian, Jesus isn't done yet fixing you. He ain't done fixing us. He's still got work to do. Still got some valleys to fill in. Still got some high places to bring low. Still got some crookedness to straighten out. Still got some rough places to smooth over. But he can smooth them over if we'll let him work. If we'll let him do his work in our heart. The only requirement is repentance. That's what John's preaching. Repent. 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 Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. And he is coming. And Christians, he's coming one day for us. And when Jesus comes to get us, we'll be fixed. Will be fixed. Amen? When Jesus comes, it will all be fixed. It will all get fixed when Jesus comes. Father, bless the message. Lord, we thank you for the prophet John testifying of our Savior, of his power and his plans, Lord, to fix everything. Lord, I thank you for those that are saved here, Lord, that have gotten that fixed. And we know it only got fixed when Jesus came into our hearts. And if there's any here today that have never asked Jesus to come into their heart, they've never been fixed of their sin problem, I pray that even today, even now, they'd call upon Thee and be saved. And God, that You just continue Your work in our lives, fixing us, shaping us, molding us into that which You would have each of us to be. Lord, I do pray, long for that day when You come and blow the trumpet. Call us all home to be with You. And Lord, we know then it will be fixed once and for all. But then, Lord, You're coming back to this earth. And I'm glad You are. I look forward to that day when You come back and fix this crooked world. Lord, when You come back and straighten out, Lord, this messed up planet. And You've promised to do it. And we're thankful for those precious promises, Lord. We thank You, Lord, You haven't just left us here to try to do it on our own. We can't do it. But thank You for the promise that You'll come and that You'll do it. Help us, Lord, in all things just to leave things in Your hands. Lord, a lot of times we like to fix them ourselves. May we see and understand that only Jesus can really fix things. So, Lord, You do the fixing in each of our lives. All right, we'll have service this evening at 6. I hope you can make it for service this evening. Be praying for that. And just continue to pray for those that are sick. Keep Helen Pittman in your prayers as she is away right now, visiting relatives in Florida. Also, as a reminder, don't forget, next Sunday, that Saturday night, that's daylight savings time. So make sure you spring ahead, all right? Or else you come late to church. And that's not good. Amen. Don't come late to church. So make sure you're prepared for daylight savings time next week. All right, let's stand for prayer and we'll be dismissed.